Our text this evening is found in the book of Genesis, and at first sight it may strike us as rather unusual. It's found in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 8. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? The closing chapters of the book of Genesis tells how Jacob, the aged patriarch, took his family down to Egypt, there to live, in Jacob's case, for another 17 years or so. And there he was to live, united with his beloved Joseph, and having his family together with him, complete once again. As the 70 family members neared Egypt, Judah, one of the sons, was sent ahead to inform Joseph, who had risen to great eminence in the land of Egypt, that they were on their way and near to Egypt. And Joseph went out to meet them. A very emotional reunion took place. And then Joseph himself, with five of his brethren, went to inform Pharaoh of the family's arrival. And at the time appointed, Joseph brought Jacob, his father, and his brethren before the great king of Egypt. When Jacob found himself in the presence of Pharaoh, he broke out with blessing, mindful no doubt of all the kindness which had been shown to his son in his absence, and of the great goodness which Pharaoh had manifested to Joseph. And it must have been moving to hear the old patriarch pronounce benediction upon Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And it was then that Pharaoh asked this strange question, How old art thou? Why did he ask that question? Well, it may be that the first sight of the old man convinced Pharaoh that he was very old in years, and he wanted to know from his own lips how old he was. It could have been also that Jacob's response to him at his nearer approach, one of blessing, pronouncing divine blessing upon Jacob, was itself impressive. The scripture says that the less is blessed of the better, Hebrews 7. So he wonders who this man is, what manner of man he is, to pronounce a blessing upon one of the greatest kings on the earth. He must be very venerable, very honorable, and so impressed by the spirituality evidenced by Jacob, the question may well have arisen, How old art thou? Well, Jacob responded by saying that he was 130 years old, and that few and evil had been the years of his life. Few, that is, compared to other patriarchs before him. Abraham had lived to be 175, Isaac to 180. Few have the years of my life been, says Jacob, and few and evil, for he had known great affliction and adversity. First of all, he had known Esau, his brother's wrath, from which he had to escape. He'd known Laban's crooked dealing with him over many years. He'd known his daughter Dinah's humiliation and the hateful revenge taken by her brothers upon the Shechemites. He'd known his wife Rachel's death in Ephrath, and on top of all, he'd known the loss of Joseph for many, many years. Few and evil have the years of my life been. In this text tonight, we have one of those intriguing questions which are asked from time to time in Scripture. Each one might deserve a sermon at some time. I think the question put to Adam in the garden, "Where art thou?" Another question put to the Egyptian by David, who was wrote to David, "To whom belongest thou?" Well, such questions lend themselves to further comment, but for us tonight, just this one: how old art thou? I hope it may be helpful to consider it in three ways, with reference first of all to past life, secondly with reference to future life, and thirdly with reference to eternal life. Past life, future life, eternal life. How old art thou? Past life. This is a question that can be asked, and a question that can be answered. Because while none of us can tell how long we have yet to live, we can all tell how long we have already lived. And it's a question that can profitably be asked: how old art thou? It turns the floodlight back into the past, to the years which have gone, to the life we have already lived. How long has it been? And I say that's a good question, and it's a searching one. And that's one I want to put to you tonight. How old art thou? If we look back at our lives and look back on the years we have already lived, what mercy and grace have been shown to us? What I mean is this: however old we are old enough to have learnt how to be saved. God has spoken and communicated in audible voice and in written record his own word. And there he has informed men of salvation However old you are tonight, you are old enough to have read the Word of God concerning salvation. You're old enough to have heard preaching time and time again concerning salvation. That means that you've had many and varied opportunities to respond to the Word of God. Whether you're young or more mature in years tonight, how many days have you had wherein you were able to pick up the Holy Scripture and read? How many Sabbaths at the end of which you were able to hear the gospel of salvation? You think about it. You think about it. And advantages have abounded during the life you have lived. You've had many privileges. Maybe that some of you have been brought up with godly parents who have impressed the great saving truths of God upon your young minds and your young hearts, even from earliest times. You've been surrounded by friends in the community of the church, some of whom have professed faith and who love the Lord, and it's been an advantage to have known them. And that's been an encouragement to you. You, in Providence, have been placed in a gospel church where the Word of God is esteemed highly, and where the Word of God is explained week by week. All these have been wonderful privileges. Now put it all together. Through the years of your life thus far, you have been able to come to know what is God's salvation. You've been given repeated opportunities to find that salvation yourself. And you have been given many helps and encouragements at home and at church to make sure of that, to make sure that you're saved. There lies the relevance of the question, how old art thou? How much you've got to know. How many the opportunities afforded to you. How many privileges bestowed upon you that you might be converted, that you might be numbered amongst them that believe. Just think about it. How old art thou? The second thing I would say is this. You are surely old enough to be wiser than some others. You've lived long enough, you see. You lived long enough already to know the sinfulness of your own hearts. Long enough to discover the evil propensity which is within. So that at times you have shocked yourself by thoughts and by words and deeds that have come out of your own hearts. You're old enough to know that it is a wicked heart that is in you, and a deceitful heart. You've proved that over the years. You're also old enough to marvel at this, that judgment has not already overtaken you. Such is the sinfulness of your heart and its wickedness, that it is amazing that you're still alive. when you think of sin within and what sin has come out of your heart, it is amazing that God has not brought you to perdition, that he's not ended your life already. It's amazing too that having come to know the wickedness of your heart, the fact that judgment has not thus far overtaken you, it's amazing that the gospel is still being preached to you, sinner that you are, deserving of judgment as you are. God is still bringing his word powerfully to your mind and to your conscience and to your soul, maybe weekly, and you're being affected by it. Isn't this remarkable? How old art thou? Old enough to sin. Old enough to merit some stroke of judgment. Old of us. Old enough to stand amazed that God is still calling us to faith and to repentance. How old art thou? It is more imperative than ever when we look back and we see the years which have passed. It's more imperative than ever that we are saved now, soon, without delay. Because those years which have been lived have been years in which you have sinned, and your sins have accumulated before God. They are now more in number than the hairs of your head. That is true if you're just 12 years old. How many sins? How many bad thoughts? How many angry passions? How many lies and falsehoods? How many acts of disobedience? How many unkind things have been done in just 12 years? Double it, 24 years. How many more sins have been committed? Double it again, 48 years. It is now becoming a mountain of iniquity. It impresses upon us that we need to be saved, and more so when we remember that every further sin is a further offence, a further provocation to God. We are heaping up, in the words of the Apostle Paul, wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And judgment is nearer now than when you were younger. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. How old art thou? So much time has passed. The day of judgment is therefore nearer than ever it has been. You see what I mean when I say it's a very searching question. How old art thou? Old enough to know the truth. Old enough to have had opportunity. Old enough to have been encouraged to be converted. How old art thou? Old enough to know that I've got a wicked heart. Old enough to know that it's a miracle that judgment has not ended my life. Old enough to know that it is hardly to be credited and believed that God still has overtures of mercy toward me in the gospel. He's still calling me. How old art thou? old enough to make it vital that I be converted soon, because the sins are rising higher and higher, and each sin is calling upon God for judgment, and the day of judgment is nearer than I would dare believe. The Bible says, your damnation slumbereth not. How old art thou? Look at it just for a moment. Look at the past from another vantage point. How old are you? So and so, you say. So many years have I lived. Yes. And what do you make of those years? All those years, and yet you have failed to find God. All those years, and life has had no purpose for you, no objective. Peace has eluded you, and it's not in your hearts today. The whole purpose of life here, in the way of providence, is that you might find God, that you might know his will, and that you might have peace with God. How old art thou? How long you've had to find him, and you failed. How long you've had to discover the reason for living, and you failed. How long you've had to possess peace with God, your maker and your judge, and in this also you have failed. How old art thou? My friends, if anything, you are much needier now than you've ever been before, because of how old you are. The Bible speaks of sinners being hardened in their sin, of being accustomed to do evil. You've lived long enough to form habit, and habit, when it is finished, forms character. You were in a more difficult case than you have ever been. Your heart is harder. Your unbelief, because it has grown over the years as you have refused the gospel, resisted the overtures of mercy, your unbelief has grown stronger. And what knowledge you've had and gleaned, though it's not been turned to faith, but that knowledge has made you proud. You're much more unreachable now than ever you've been. How old art thou? We look back at the years which are past. Thus far, all the advantages, all the opportunities, all the sermons have not brought you to a state of salvation. All those years, and you're not saved. And what is to say, my friends, that it will be otherwise in the time to come? You've had long time to turn to God. Long time to confess your sins. Long time to call upon the Savior to save your soul. And it's not been done. Can't you see, therefore, that you are in a critical case? So old, still unbelieving. And yet, God declares himself still ready to pardon, ready to hear prayer, ready to save. After all those years, the heart of the eternal God is most wonderfully kind. It's true that over those years, there have been blessings in your life that might have moved you to faith. There have certainly been warnings which might have given you soul concern. Perhaps the death of someone you knew very well. Perhaps an accident from which you narrowly escaped. Perhaps an illness which was threatening. What were these things? Was God knocking at the door of your life and saying to you, "Wake up! If you will not hear my word, then hear the action I perform. It is time to seek the Lord." How old art thou? Well, I put my points together here. And so at this first point, I tell you, you're old enough to have no excuse. That's the bottom line. You've had the privilege. You've heard the word of God. You prove what you need. You've failed thus far to discover peace and joy in the felt presence of God. You're needy now, and he's ready to save you. And after so long, if you're lost, it's your fault. How old art thou? Past life. Secondly, future life. The question Pharaoh put to Joseph was a relevant one to us all, because nothing is so important as coming to grips with this. What is immediately before us now? How much longer do I have? Future life. Since much of your time has already been spent to no profit, spiritually I mean, then you need to wake up to the situation you are in and try to make up for the time you've wasted and the time you have lost. The fact of the matter is, we don't know that we have a long time left. We certainly don't know that we shall live again as long as we have lived already. Our times are in God's hands. Felix, in the New Testament, listened to Paul, and he said at the end of Paul's preaching, "I will hear thee again on this matter." Oh, foolish man. Foolish man to place everything upon the possibility that he might hear Paul again. Thou knowest not what shall be on the morrow. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. It may be that hours after saying, "I'll hear thee again on this matter," a summons will come from heaven. Thy soul is required of thee. How old art thou? Old enough, I reckon, to know that there may be just a very short time left. Time in which to be convicted of sin. Time in which to be converted to Christ. So little time. Then we need to make this an urgent matter, didn't we? Ought we not? Doesn't the Bible say as much? Doesn't it say that you are to seek him with all your heart if you are truly to find him? Doesn't it say that you are to be in earnest about this matter of salvation? John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath to come. Take whatever measure lies at your hand to be saved. Like a man in a burning house, get out! And so the sinner must do everything he can to avoid the consuming judgment and to find safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. You should be in earnest. It looks as if you have at least a season left. To everything there is a time and a purpose. You have a little time left to tell God that you acknowledge your sin and the righteousness of his judgment and the wonder of provision of salvation in his Son, and you receive it so readily and thankfully and gratefully. You take to yourself the gift of God which is in Christ Jesus, and you claim him this night, your very own Saviour and your very own Lord. It's the very least that you can do. Because what time you have left is passing swiftly, and it's getting shorter by the hour. And neither I nor anyone else can promise you an extension of your time. And if time breaks off before you've found Christ, that will be an eternal loss to you, which you will never be able to make up. Some of you are older in years. I say to you, how old are you? How old art thou? Do you think you'll live forever? That you can treat this as a thing indifferent? A thing which doesn't grasp you with godly concern? A thing to which you won't apply yourself with great diligence? How can I be saved? It is time to seek the Lord. It would be the height of folly to delay it one moment longer, because death is inevitable, and death and judgment wait for no man. The time you have left may be short, but I tell you this, when this sermon is finished, it will be shorter still. And when you arrive at home, it will be shorter than ever. And you're living unlimited time. It is time, high time, to be saved. How old art thou? We look at the past. How old art thou? We look at the brief future before us. past life, future life, eternal life. Why do I choose this text? Because it is so important that you face up to the reality to which it calls you. You've lived a long time already. Perhaps you have only a short time left. And on this frail basis, you must lay hold on eternal life. It is of such great consequence that you dare not put it out of your mind tonight. And you dare not let the sermon pass over you like water. It is of paramount importance that you be saved, otherwise you will be lost. Of paramount importance that you get a claim to heaven, or you shall have a place in hell. Eternal life is adventure, humanly speaking, at risk. How old are you, young people? You're old enough to die. You're old enough to face God in judgment. You're old enough to be told to depart into everlasting fire. Therefore, you are old enough to be saved. And you must be saved, or eternal life you will never know. How old are you? Old enough to have heard this before and done nothing. Old enough to have time still to do something. Old enough to believe, be saved, and have eternal life, and have everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then my final word to you is believe on the name of God's Son. Trust him. And everlasting life is yours. Amen.